السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will inshallah just discuss the tertib for Umrah. Somebody who's going for Umrah for the first time, they requested that we do the tertib for Umrah. One is, it's very, very important when Allah Ta'ala allows for us to undertake this journey, is to get our mindset right. These Mubarak places that we are going to, they are no ordinary lands. It's a very, very blessed places, very, very Mubarak lands. And our conduct, our behavior, our preparation, etc., should be in accordance with that, that we are going to very, very honorable places, sacred places. So one way of conscientizing oneself is to read Fazail-e Hajj. Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's Fazail-e Hajj. If a person has to read it nicely, then a person gets good understanding of where he or she is going and what the mindset should be. So depending now on whether a person is going to Makkah Mukarrama first or Madinah Munawwara first, where you're going to Makkah Mukarrama first. So if a person is going to Makkah Mukarrama first, then generally the aeroplane, it normally crosses the boundary before landing in Jeddah. Although Jeddah itself may not be within the boundary, the route that the aeroplane takes, it crosses the miqat. So one has to make one's niyat, one's intention for ihram prior to crossing the miqat, prior to crossing that boundary. So generally the pilot will announce when he is close to the miqat, like half an hour or something before, he will announce and he will say that those that are going for Umrah now, you know, put on your ihram, etc. And when he is crossing the miqat also, he will make an announcement to say he is crossing the miqat. So one can either carry one's ihram on the aeroplane and go and change on the aeroplane. It's a little bit cumbersome. Or one can don one's ihram before boarding the flight. If one is flying from Durban without any stops in between, or Johannesburg, you're taking a Saudi flight, then sometime it is difficult to remain in ihram for so long if we're not used to it. So an easy method of doing it is to wear the bottom piece, wear the lower towel for ihram, and wear your normal kurta on the top, and then when you are coming close to the miqat, you just remove the kurta and put the top piece on. When we are coming to that miqat, that boundary, then we will make niyat. Right? Now on the aeroplane, we won't get chance maybe to read our two rakats, Salatul Ihram. So what we'll do is we'll read the two rakats, Salatul Ihram, before boarding the flight. But we won't make our niyat, we won't make our intention. We just read the two rakats, Salatul Ihram, engage in some dua and continue just like that, but don't make the niyat of ihram. Then when we're on the plane and we're crossing that boundary, we will make the niyat. Now before making the niyat, we'll remove our topi, if we're wearing topi, if we're wearing socks, anything that's not allowed while in ihram, we will remove all of that. For a man, even his underclothing is not allowed to wear his underclothing also while in ihram. So all that must be removed. Before going into ihram, it is a sunnah to apply itar. In fact, for the wife to apply itar for the husband, using something, obviously she doesn't want to get the itar on herself, but using something she can apply itar on her husband's back. This was done by the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna ajma'in for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, we must apply it well in advance and make sure that it is rubbed into the body, because we don't want that itar to get onto the clothing of ihram. Right? Once we are in ihram, now when we are crossing that miqat, we will make the niyat. The niyat, if a person knows the Arabic, that Allahumma inni uridul umrah, oh Allah, I intend to perform umrah, fayassirha li wa taqabbalha minni. Make it easy for me and accept it from me. If you don't know the Arabic, you can read it in English. Right? If you have a kitab with you, you can just check it up in the kitab and you will find the Arabic written there. If not, then you can just make it in English. Oh Allah, I intend to make umrah. Make it easy for me and accept it from me. So now once that niyat is made, now a person is in the state of ihram. One is he could have been wearing the clothing of ihram. But once the person makes that niyat, now the person is in a state of ihram. So in the state of ihram, he cannot use any itar. He must not scratch his body, right, too much. He cannot pare his nails. He cannot remove any hair, right. He cannot even use soap. Can't use soap while you're washing your hands, etc. Because generally our soaps are scented, so you can't use the soap. So all these prohibitions then come into place once we make that niyat for umrah and we are now in ihram. So all those things will come into place. Once we have made that niyat, we will recite the talbiyah also. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. It's preferable to read it thrice. Right? So you read the talbiyah, you can read once, preferable to read it thrice. And after that, on that journey, read the talbiyah as much as possible. And you don't have to shout and read it, but read it. Men can read it slightly audibly, women folk read it silently, but read it as much as possible. For the women folk, their clothing, their ihram clothing is exactly as the men. Is exactly as the clothing that they normally wear. There's no difference. They don't have to wear anything different for ihram. Right? However, what they should be mindful of is that they are going to be making tawaf in the haram, sa'i, etc. So rather wear something that is very, very simple. You don't want to attract attention to yourself and don't have any fancy handbag and fancy scarves and all these things. Wear burqa, simple, plain, straightforward, no designs and flashy materials and all those type of things. Right? Other men are also making tawaf there and we don't want to be a cause of them spoiling their ibadat, a cause of them now spoiling their eyes because of the way in which our women folk are dressed. Right. So khair, we will recite the talbiyah as much as possible. Then eventually we will reach our place of residence in Makkah Mukarrama. Obviously you land in Jeddah, you'll take your taxi and you'll go away to Makkah Mukarrama. When we come to Makkah Mukarrama, we will settle down. Right? We don't have to go and make umrah immediately. As soon as you reach, have to go and make umrah, no. And sometime when you are traveling with seasoned umrah goers, and they bichara, it's like people traveling Maritzburg to Durban, every time they're checking their time, how faster they can do it, and they got all other plans, they want to just get the umrah over and done with. That shouldn't be the mindset. The whole maqsad for that journey is that umrah. So that umrah must be something special, right? So when we get to Makkah Mukarramah, get to our residence, settle down, put our saman away. If we want to rest a little while, rest. If we are hungry, we need to eat something, right? And when we are then ready, we feel we are rested, etc., we can go and make our umrah, then we proceed to go and make our umrah. A nice time, this is just a suggestion, it's not something that is hard and fast, but a nice time to go to make the umrah is like an hour and a half after Isha. Whatever time Isha is finishing, so about an hour and a half after that is a nice time to go and make umrah. People generally sit in the masjid from Maghrib to Isha. It's a short time. After Isha they make a tawaf and after that they come out now to go and have their meals or go and rest or whatever. So the haram is a little bit quiet at that time. Quiet, Karina, is not quiet. Haram is now quiet, but it's a little less busier at that time than between Maghrib and Isha, or you know, other times. So an hour and a half after the Isha Salah, if a person has got taqat, person has got strength, then even during the day, it's very nice to make Umrah. During daytime, it's very calm, peaceful, right? But sometimes we cannot take the heat, right? We cannot handle it. Then we mustn't try to push ourselves and fall down, and then we can't make any other ibadat after that, right? So 1.5 hours after Isha is like a nice time to go, and then you've got the duration of the night. So you're not in a hurry. You're not rushing now. Namaz time is coming and I need to finish up. You've got the whole night nicely. You can make, take your time, make dua, etc. You've got ample time, enough time to make your Umrah. So khair, another important thing is generally we're going now, you're going with your wife or children or whatever. Make sure to have some landmarks. When you get there, right, now you came out of your hotel, you're going with your family into the haram. So before you go into the haram, find a landmark. And there's our hotel, let's get our bearings, right? There's a landmark here near our hotel, right? If anything happens, somebody gets lost, somebody, you know, whatever, we'll meet here. So now there's no pareshani. You know, showed the person the landmark, everything. If gadad, something happens, you get separated, and it happens. It happens there with the crowds, etc. Sometimes you can get separated, right? So make sure you accustom yourself with where you are, where your hotel is, find some sort of landmarks, and make a time or whatever that look. If anything happens, then this is where we will meet. So in the heart is at ease. Right. So here, when we entering the haram, so we will enter like how we enter our normal masajid, right? Masnoon manner, enter with the right foot, read the dua, etc. But we will not read 2 rakats tahiyatul masjid, right? Because here the tawaf takes precedence, the tawaf takes preference over the 2 rakats tahiyatul masjid. So you won't read 2 rakats tahiyatul masjid. We will proceed in a very, very humble manner, with our heads lowered, not looking around, not looking up. Our heads lowered, we will proceed to the mataf area. Right? When we come down to the mataf area, we won't go too close, stay in the back. Right? This is when we will raise our head now, and we will see the Baytullah. Right? So this first sighting of the Baytullah is a very special moment in the life of a believer. And at this time, the believer recites Takbir, recites Allahu Akbar, and there is a dua also to be recited, that oh Allah, increase this home of yours in its sharaf, in its honor, etc. A person knows the Arabic, he can read the Arabic. He doesn't know the Arabic, he can say it in English. So once we have taken in this majestic sight of the Kaabatullah, the Baytullah, then it is time to make dua. And the dua that is made at this time is a maqbool dua, it's an accepted dua. So generally, many ulama, many akabirin, they advise that look, the first dua that we should make is Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Because this dua encompasses everything. Right? Because you think you're going to make this dua, that dua, sometimes you see the Baytullah, you don't think of anything else after that. Nothing else comes to mind. But if we read this dua, then it encompasses everything. So we stand there, look at the Baytullah, there is no hurry, there is no rush. And to our heart's content, a person should engage in dua. Praise Allah Ta'ala, send salutations upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then make dua for yourself, make dua for your family, your friends, the ummah at large, whether it is the ummah da'wat, whether it is the ummah that has already become believers, whether it is the ummah that are not believers as yet, and whatever du'as you need to make, make your du'as at that time. After this, we now have to commence with our tawaf, right? So when we're going to commence with our tawaf, for the men folk, what we have to do is, we have to expose our right shoulder. Right? Now, this is only done in the tawaf that is being done for Umrah. It's not done in any other tawaf. We got to expose the right shoulder. So all that we do is we take that ihram towel, put it under the right shoulder, and throw it over the left shoulder. So the left shoulder will be covered, the right shoulder will be exposed. Right? And we will make our way to the point of Hajri Aswad. Right? Now, before, and you will find this still written in the older kitabs, that there is a black line on the floor. That black line is not there. You're going to look for the black line, you're not going to see it. Right? Now what they have is green lights. Green lights, you just go to align yourself, you see where the green light is, and try and judge, okay, the Hajri Aswad is there, the green light is here, so this is the line of Hajri Aswad. So what you'll do is try to get close to the line, but be in the back, because that washing machine is moving. Right? The washing machine, you don't want to hold people up, etc. So try and be a little away from the circle itself, but get close to the line as possible. And then facing in the direction of the Baytullah, we will make our niyat for tawaf. Right? Now all the intentions have similar words. The intention for Umrah, Allahumma inni uridu al-Umrah, fayassirha li wa taqabbalha minni. Tawaf, Allahumma inni uridu al-Tawaf, fayassirhu li wa taqabbalhu minni. Allah, I intend to make tawaf. Some kitabs would have sab'a ashwatin and all that. It's simple, if you don't know all that, you just say, Allah, I intend to make tawaf of Baytullah, make it easy for me, accept it from me. Right? So once this intention is made, now you step onto the line. Now you get in line. The intention will make before getting in line. Right? Once the intention is made, now you'll get in line, face in the direction of the Hajri Aswad, right? And you will make your istilam. Right? So, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, you bring your hands here, kiss your hands, lower your hands, and now you begin your tawaf. So this is the first istilam, right? You start your tawaf. Now when you start your tawaf, for the men folk, in the first three rounds of tawaf, we will walk like how a soldier walks. There is no running. So some people, they think you got to jog or you got to run, and you'll find people doing that. Right? It's out of ignorance. There's no need to run and jog. It's more a march. More than a run and a jog, it's how a soldier marches. It's more the posture, that you stand with your upright, with your chest out, your body looking strong, and you're taking big strides. You're walking like how a soldier walks, right? So this is what we'll do in the first three rounds of that tawaf, right? In the tawaf itself, you can engage, there are no masnoon du'as, that you must read this du'a or that du'a. The kitabs have got many du'as written, that's just to give people an idea that they must make du'a. But there's nothing recorded that you must read this du'a or you must read that du'a. You can make your own du'a, engage in zikrullah, engage in durood, engage in istighfar, tilawat of Quran Sharif, whatever you wish to do. Right? Only when you come to Rukne Yamani, now you're starting at Hajri Aswad, you will walk from there, you come to the first corner there, at that corner the Hatim starts. You see the semicircle wall, you're going to go around that, right? Around that, then you come into the third corner. Now Hajri Aswad is the first corner, second quarter, the third corner here, right? Then you're going to carry on walking and you come to the fourth corner, which is known as Rukne Yamani. Right? Now at Rukne Yamani also, there is a stone. If you're going past, it's very quiet and you can touch it, you may touch it, right? There's no fazilat in kissing it, there's no other fazilat. If you're going past, you may touch it, that's fine, right? But from Rukne Yamani to Hajre Aswad, in this quarter of the Tawaf, it is best to recite Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya Hasana Wa Fil Akhirati Hasana Wa Qina Azab An-Nar. Allahumma inni asaluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqa wasi'a wa shifa'an min kulli da. These two du'as, right? So you recite this in the last quarter, you come back to Hajre Aswad. At Hajre Aswad again you're going to make istilam, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar, kiss your hands. If Allah Ta'ala gives you opportunity to kiss the Hajre Aswad itself, so then you won't be making istinam. Then you read Bismillah Allahu Akbar, you'll kiss the Hajre Aswad and you'll continue, right? But if not, if we are a distance away, then we make istinam like that. And we don't want to push and fight with anybody to get to kiss the Hajre Aswad. We rather make istinam from far, there's more sawab in that. So once we've done this, then that is regarded as one circuit of the tawaf. So we need 7 of these circuits, right? After the third circuit, the man will walk normal. He won't now march like a soldier anymore. He will walk normal. And he will continue completing 7 circuits of tawaf with 8 istilams. Because the first istilam he'll make, and in the end he's making an istilam. So he'll have 8 istilams with 7 times going around the Kaabatullah, going around the Baytullah. Once he has completed his tawaf, now he goes to read his 2 rakats wajibut tawaf. This is a wajib salah, right? It cannot be performed between Asr and Maghrib, neither can it be performed between Fajr and Ishraq, right? And this wajibut tawaf, obviously zawal time also you can't. This wajibut tawaf, you will read this 2 rakats every time after completing a tawaf. 2 rakats wajibut tawaf you'll have to make every time after completing a tawaf, right? So generally you'll find in the kitabs it is mentioned that you must read the salah behind Maqam Ibrahim. Now if there is a huge crowd and the tawaf circuit is so big that Maqam Ibrahim is part of the tawaf circuit, so that you can't read it there. So you will go in the back anywhere where you get a place, read your 2 rakats wajibut tawaf, and then engage in dua again to your heart's content, right? Umrah is all about dua. It's about this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you engage in dua. In this salah, you read Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun Qul huwallahu ahad, right? If you read other surahs, there's no problem. But these are the mustahab surahs that are mentioned to be recited in that salah. Khair, after that salah, you'll engage in dua. After the dua, then you try and go to the multazam, right? Now the multazam is the section between the Hajre Aswad and the door of the Baytullah. Now generally it's chaotic, so you can't really get there, right? So you may get a little bit on this side of the door, but you try and get as close to the Baytullah as possible. Nowadays, because there is so much of itar there, so while we are in a state of ihram, we must not attach ourselves to the Baytullah because the itar is going to come onto our ihram. So we stand a little bit away and engage in dua. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever duas we wish to make, make it. After this, we've completed this dua, then we're going to make our way to the back where the Zamzam tanks are. So it's all, if this is the Baytullah, say, if this, say this is the Baytullah, right? If this was the Baytullah, and this is Hajre Aswad here, so the door of the Baytullah is here. So you are in this section, right? You made your 2 rakats wajibut tawaf, you made your dua, you went forward again, you made dua. So in the back of this, on the same side, in the back, is the Zamzam tanks. So you'll go there, you drink zamzam to your heart's content. Just drink as much zamzam as you can drink. Drink. Before drinking zamzam, you read the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqa wasi'a wa shifa'an min kulli da. And then facing Baytullah, you drink. So you fill up your cup, face Baytullah, read the dua, drink the zamzam, right? After drinking zamzam also, you stand there, you make dua again. At the place where you drink your zamzam. Once this is done, you now have to make sa'i. This is the next now physical thing, right, that's required, is the sa'i, where you are going to walk between Mount Safa and Mount Marwa. Here, it is best to try and make your sa'i on the ground floor. Right? If you see it is very busy and you can't manage there, then you can go up, no problem. If you got old people, go right to the top. They even got motorized, not wheelchair, they got this like dodgems, or motorized go-kart or something for the old people, right? But anyway, when we go to make our sa'i, before leaving that whole mataf area, etc., we make one more istilam. Right? So you try and get in line with Hajar Aswad, you make your one more istilam, this is your ninth istilam. And then you proceed. Now you'll see boards showing you sa'i. They won't call it Safa Marwa, they'll call it Masa or Sa'i. You look for those two words. Right? So you just head in that direction. And then there's boards everywhere. And if you get a bit disorientated, you ask a guard, they're very helpful, right? Or you ask any person also, people are generally very, very helpful. Just ask them, looking, you know, sa'i. If an Arab person says masa, sa'i, he will show you where to go. So when you get there, you're going to get to Mount Safa. Right? You get to Mount Safa and you will see that there is a bit of an incline, so you try and get onto the incline. Right? You may not be able to see the Baytullah from there, but you watch the tiles, the marble tiles. The marble tiles are all facing in the direction of Baytullah. Whatever angle that tile is placed in, that is the angle of Baytullah. Right? So you get there and you face in the direction of Baytullah, make your niyat, Allahumma inni uridu sa'ya bayna safa wal marwa fayassirhu li wa taqabbalhu minni, oh Allah, I intend to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa, make it easy for me, accept it from me, right? Read the fourth kalima, third kalima, and engage in dua again. And at this time, obviously, the thoughts that should be going through our mind is how Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, Hazrat Hajra alayhi salam, all this history must be going through our minds at that time. Then think of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his time. And here now from Safa, we will make our way to Marwa. Now when you just come down that incline of Safa, very short distance, and you will come across green fluorescent lights, right? So in the time originally when Hazrat Hajra alayhi salam was making the sa'i, so this was a lowered area, and from this area she couldn't see Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam when she went down. So she ran this to get to a higher ground again where she could see him, right? So between, you see there's one set of green lights, and then there's a space, and then there's another set of green lights. So the men folk only, not the women folk, only the men folk will jog. Here is the place to jog. Tawaf is not the place to jog. Here is the place to jog. You will jog from the one green lights, get to the second green light, and then stop. Right? So if you got women folk with you, so they'll carry on walking, you will jog, you'll get to the second green light, and then you walk slowly, and then they'll catch up with you and you carry on. Right? While making the sa'i also, you can engage in whatever dua you want to engage in, praising Allah Ta'ala, whatever. And on the way, while you are making your sa'i, there are zamzam tanks. So if you're thirsty, mustn't think it's like salah, that you can't go drink water. If you are thirsty, you're feeling hot, whatever, you want to stop a little while, drink a little bit of water, no problem at all. Right? So then you walk, you get away to Marwa. So when you get to the side of Marwa, you try and go around, right? If the incline is there, you get to the incline, you'll find some stones that are glued. So you try and get up to that point so you know you reach the Marwa. And then you just move a little bit more to your right. Again, see which way the marble tile is placed. Stand there, engage in dua. Right? Finish making dua, then you're going to make your way again to Safa. Again, when you come to the green lights, you're going to jog. So when you come from Safa to Marwa, is regarded as one circuit. Marwa back to Safa is 2. Safa to Marwa 3. Marwa to Safa 4. 5, 6, 7. So you'll start at Safa, but you'll finish off at Marwa. Important, just a point to remember, is that when you are going to make sa'i, try and have your shoes with you. Right? No, not wearing it, I mean carrying the shoes with you, because sometime when you finish off at Marwa, you may be tired, the wife may be tired, child may be tired, and if you left your shoes that side, Marwa is another end. That's in another end. Now to walk and get back there is difficult, right? And in Makkah Mukarramah especially, always try and keep your shoes with you. Have a shoe bag, keep your shoes with you. Because what happens in Makkah Mukarramah, they're cleaning all the time. So you think now you left your shoe on a certain shoe rack. When you go back there, the rack is not there. When you go back there, it's a different scene. So don't leave your shoes. Rather, have a nice shoe bag and keep your shoes with you. So khair, you'll make your sa'i, you'll finish off at Marwa. Right? When you finish off, you're at the end of you. This is the ending of your umrah. So you will make a dua, a lengthy dua, like how you made before starting the umrah. Lengthy dua, face in the direction of the Baytullah, and engage in a lengthy dua. After this, the umrah itself is finished. Right? So now we have to remove our hair. But there is one thing left, is to read 2 rakat salatul shukr. Now generally you will find the tartib that you remove your hair and then read the 2 rakat salatul shukr. But what I found from a little experience is that many a times you get nicked when you go to cut your hair. So your wuzu breaks. Your wuzu breaks and then the 2 rakat salatul shukr gets left. Because after you go to bath, then you forget now about the 2 rakat salatul shukr. That thing gets finished. So rather read your 2 rakat salatul shukr first and then go to cut the hair. Now in the old days, when you just come out from Marwa, there used to be many, many barbers there and all that. Now it's no more like that. Now, depending where you're staying, right, on the Hilton side, Tower 5. So if Hilton building is here, and you're coming out from the Haram now, you're seeing this huge Hilton here. On this side of the Hilton, Tower 5, in like as if to say going into the parking lot, there's a nice barber shop there. Don't get frightened for the queue. That queue moves very fast. Right? So that's one place. The other is, you're coming out of Marwa side, right? You walk now and you got Zamzam towers in front of you. So instead of going up into the shopping center or the hotel itself, there is one ramp that goes down. So you go down. But you know what? When you come out from there, there's 50 people waiting there and telling you come. They all want to take you to their barber shop, right? But just ask them where's the barber shop, because you don't want them to take you very far. Right? So if it's the, if you, depending where you're staying, the Hilton side or the Zamzam side is convenient. Go away there. They'll ask you moose. That means you want to shave your hair. We want to shave our hair, so take you here also. When, before you go to take, go for your Umrah, carry some money with you, a few riyals. So after Umrah, you go for your haircut, whatever, you got some riyals with you. So you'll remove your hair, the women folk will go away to the hotel room. They need to remove like an inch of their hair. So the husband can cut his wife's hair, no problem. Or if there's another lady there, she can cut the other lady's hair. So they basically just part their hair in three, divide their hair in like three portions, and just take one finger, take it around, cut. Cut, finish. They are done. So once this is done, then now you can go and have your bath, you can use your soap, everything. You are out of ihram now. So that is the Umrah itself. Then your days in Makkah Mukarramah, you make as much tawaf as possible, as much tilawat of Quran Sharif as possible. And I always say is that, look, after the first day, now you know more or less your tartib, make a timetable for yourself and stick to that timetable. Because if you don't have a timetable, then you know, it's alright, no, we'll sleep today, we'll do that tomorrow, nothing ready gets done. If you have a tartib from the first day, right, this is how I'm going to spend my time, and you keep to that. Then after your stay in Makkah Mukarramah, you will then go to Madinah Munawwara. Your trip to Madinah Munawwara, read as much Durud Sharif as possible, right? As much as you can read. If you got a kitab on the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then while in Makkah Mukarramah, go through that seerah kitab. Sit with the family every day, make some ta'neem, so that when you're going to Madinah Munawwara now, you know, you have a little bit of this mindset of who we are going to see, whose city we are going to, right? So when you get, another thing that a lot of Akabirin used to do was to read 1,000 times Surah Kawthar, Inna Atayna Kal Kawthar, and present that as Isale Sawab, as a gift for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they go to make their salam, you know, to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So khair, when you get to Madinah Munawwara, again the same situation, you will first find your hotel, settle down, make sure the family is settled, get your saman, you know, everything, your mind must be at ease. And unlike Makkah Mukarramah, in Madinah Munawwara, you will take your ghusl, put on a clean set of clothing, put on itar, comb your hair nicely, be presentable. Be very, very presentable before we go to make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also be rested, whatever, and don't put a time frame to yourself. Don't put a time frame to yourself. You are going for this, you're going to the royal court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However long it takes, it will take. Right? The women folk, they have times for them. Right? So sometimes the time that you get to Madinah Munawwara, it may not coincide with the times that they have for the ladies. So she will go in her time. A man will have to go on his own. So the haram is open now 24 hours. Right? So whatever time you want to go, you go away. So you'll dress up everything, you know, look presentable, look good, smell nice. And when you're going en route from the hotel room and you are going now to the haram, Madinah Munawwara, engage in istighfar, engage in Durood Sharif, right? And if you can, then give some sadaqah. You'll find many people, sometimes people who are sweeping the streets, sometimes a person who is begging, sometimes it is the cleaners in the haram, etc. Give them some sadaqah, get away into the haram. If it is not a makruh or a prohibited time of salah, so you try and get onto the Riyazul Jannah. If you cannot get onto the Riyazul Jannah, you get as close as possible, right? Read your two rakats Tahiyyatul Masjid, and you can make intention of Tawbah also, Shukr also, everything in the two rakats. After the two rakats Salah, engage in Dua. The main thing you're going to do in this Dua is ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Ya Allah, I'm going in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Cleanse me before I go there. don't let me go there with all my baggage of gunas and dirty black spots on my heart. Cleanse everything before I go in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is the main thing you will ask for in that dua. Thereafter, you will proceed to the front of the haram. Now, you know, sometimes people are reading salah, sometimes they close certain sections. So what I always feel nice is that you come out, right? Come out and walk on the outside of the main masjid. You see how the haram is? See, this is the main masjid, right? The rest of the haram, this is the Turkish, what they call Turkish masjid. Now the rest of the haram is big like this. The Turkish masjid is small. So if you come out, right, from these doors, where it's like you're coming out, this is all marble here, and you come right to the front, and then you enter from this door. This is now the passageway that's right in the front going to the Roza Mubarak. So you enter from here, go in from there. And it's a nice, peaceful, Nurani walk. You're agreeing, your mindset, you keep your gaze lowered, Durood Sharif, Durood Sharif, Durood Sharif, right? You walk slowly and you try and get away there now. Sometimes if there's big crowds and whatever, they be pushing the people, so you don't get a chance to really make your salam nicely. So if you can't get, if you see, you know, they're just pushing the people and whatever, you don't have to go right there to the front. You stay a few pillars away, stand there, face in the direction of the Roza Mubarak, and you make your salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now there are many different salams that are written in the different kitabs. So make your salam and remember that sometimes certain things are mentioned, certain akabirin. Now they may be blessed with kashf, they may be, right? But we must know where is our line, where is our limit, right? So we make salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We convey the salams of others, whoever we can remember, whoever told us, convey salam. Then convey salam on behalf of the entire ummah. Right? After conveying all the salams, then we ask Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make sifarish for us on the day of Qiyamah. We ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give us a drink from Hawza Kawthar on the day of Qiyamah. We ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us. Right? Those are all things that we can do. Then some akabirin have mentioned that even renew our iman in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Recite our shahadat and ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a witness to us, you know, taking the shahadat in front of him. Right? So you do this. After this, if you can still stand there, they are not pushing you away, stand there and continue making salam. Just continue making salam. If you can make up to 70 salam, very good. Carry on making salam to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once you are finished, then you move, come, go close now, go close. When you are close to the Roza Mubarak, now where they're only allowing you to stand and make one salam, make one more salam there also. Then you're going to take one more step to the right, make salam to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Another step, salam to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And then what you do, you try and move away. Say like, if this is the Roza Mubarak, are you walking here, right? So from here somewhere you made your whole salam, everything. When you came close, you made salam to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Now you're still in the haram. You walk a little bit, but don't go out of the doors. Another set of doors here. Don't go out. You try and get to a point where you still got sufuf. You see like a wooden structure here, the wooden shelf with the Quran Sharifs. Try and get away inside here somewhere. face Kaaba, face in the direction of the Baytullah. Stand in a standing posture, raise your hand and engage in dua. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever duas you want to make at that time also is a time for acceptance of dua. So make dua. And that is your first salam that you made when you came to Madinah Munawwara. For your duration, your stay in Madinah Munawwara, try and make at least one salam like this daily. You know, where you go, like you, from the room, you conscious, you charity, you go, and you're going to make this one lengthy salam. Try and make at least one of that daily. And other than that, at least during the day, at another time, go, maybe a short salam, you just go, make salam, come. Even if it's two times a day, no problem. But at least once in the day, go and make one lengthy salam there to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You stay in Madinah Munawwara, try and engage in as much Durood Sharif as possible. As much Durood as possible. And from now already, Durood, Istighfar, conscientize ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. Allah ta'ala make it asan. Allah ta'ala make it beneficial and spiritually uplifting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take each and every one of us to Haramain Sharifain again and again and again and again. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.